Hello, everybody, and welcome to On the Tee with Dr. P, where we talk golf, but with an academic twist. This time, I'm going to tell you about a study I found about another sport, which may show us how good golf really is and where it can use some improvement. Yes, golf isn't perfect, but maybe we can see that it is not so bad overall. So sit back and relax for a few, and let's get started. There's a sporting event which occurs about this time every year, and it's one that I really enjoy. And no, it's not a golf major, even though I love those, or even a Stanley Cup final or anything like that. It's the Tour de France. And this is, in case you don't know what it is, it's a major cycling event. And if you haven't ever watched it, I highly recommend it. You know, maybe at first it doesn't sound very exciting to watch people ride their bikes for, you know, hundreds and thousands of miles, and I totally get that. Believe me, as someone who lives in NASCAR country, as in racing cars, I understand how the thought of watching those cars go around and around and around the track about 500 times doesn't sound very fun. But in actuality, cycling is super exciting. Now, I'm a novice to cycling. I actually don't do it myself, and I certainly don't know everything there is to know about it. However, I know just enough to be dangerous and to realize how technical it gets and how the teams work, and that the endurance and the physical power of these athletes, I mean, it's just amazing. You know, I get tired after walking 9 holes, so I can imagine riding all of these miles, you know. I'd probably give up on about mile, I don't know, 3, 4. I might make it 5. And, you know, the Tour de France gets a lot of coverage media-wise. It's on several media sources, you know, where viewers can see it. It's on every day for several weeks and for several hours a day. And, you know, here in the U.S., it's on a major network. The app is really good, and it's full of information where you can find, you can shop away all you want to for jerseys and sunglasses and even a book about the history of the event. But of course, you know, one thing occurs to me about the event: where's the women's equivalent? Now, I asked a few people who know a lot more about professional cycling than I do, and the answer to that is there a women's equivalent? Well, kind of. It's past the scope of this particular podcast to get into that, but there's been an event. It's shorter. It doesn't get much coverage. What tends to happen is that media tends to show highlights probably from the last stage or maybe whatever at the end of it and who won, and that's about it. And doesn't that sound just a little familiar to those of us in golf? Yes, I'm looking right at you, golf. Cycling and golf for women, I started thinking about this. You know, they have several similarities. Both have a history where women were discouraged from playing or participating for absolutely ludicrous, ridiculous reasons. And for both, it's everything from, you know, both of these things are a health hazard, all the way to it's socially unacceptable for women to play golf or ride bikes. It's unladylike, you know, all of it. And it's very similar in that way. And another similarity that we have in both sports, that we have a disproportionate number of women participants. In professional cycling, women account for under 20%. The statistic I found was 15%. And of course, with golf, depending on what stat you look at, women in golf is somewhere around 20-something percent. So we're looking at some pretty low numbers. So of course, I had to start digging a little bit in the academic literature about cycling. What is it? Is there anything that we can learn from this? We know that I've read many articles about other sports, namely American football, where, you know, they've really looked at women not playing, but women being involved in the sport and how, you know, the sales and all kinds of things to have women more involved. Well, I found this very interesting article about participation and advancement in competitive cycling. And the reason I found this so interesting is that in golf, we see a lot of the same issues. And I started thinking, can we learn from cycling? Can they learn from us? What's the deal? Well, let me give you a rundown of what this article was about. The authors looked at professional documents from the USA Cycling Organization. They looked at websites, they looked at race flyers, they looked at the USA Cycling itself, and they conducted interviews with some professional cyclists, female cyclists. And what they were trying to get at was to just understand the experiences of the female cyclist. Some of the questions that they asked them in their interviews were stuff like, what has your experience been with the structure of the races? What elements encourage or discourage you from participating on a regular basis? And after talking with them, again, these were from the United States, there were three main patterns that emerged. Now, when I tell you these, think about this in the golf sense or see if there's anything that may sound familiar or not. One of the patterns that they found was something called category lumping. And what this is where there are two or more categories that were combined for some reason for one race. And in other words, divisions were lumped together or something like that. And it often would result in a disadvantage for the beginners. The cyclists mentioned a lack of an intermediate category. And here's a quote from one of the participants in the interview. She said, there is no transition for beginning women to continue to race with that group of people and grow their skills at the same time as the people around them. Instead, the race promoters throw them all into the open category that has a group of women who've been racing for a really long time. It's a sink or swim situation. And for a lot of women to stay motivated to race, it's just way too fast and too hard for them. And they're just not ready to race like that. And it could certainly be a little demoralizing, unquote. All right, so maybe we see a little bit of similarity there in golf, but let's keep going. Another thing they mentioned was upgrading the system. And this is just very straightforward, that it had to do with the point system in cycling, rules and regulations, which needed to be updated. There were too many loopholes that are things that are subjective. And the third thing that they said was, now this may sound a little familiar, was the prize money. And they said that maybe better money at the elite level would help and encourage women to, quote, move up. The participants said that women are just as financially motivated as their male counterparts. And even though the prize money is only a fraction compared to the men, they said they would keep racing anyway because they love the sport. And I know that we've heard that so many times in golf and the prize money and all that, but they're going to keep playing. They love to play, and that's what they're going to do. And after all of these interviews and all this analysis, the authors gave a few recommendations. And they're saying, okay, here's what cycling needs to do to advance the women's cycling. And maybe, I don't know, what do you think? You think that golf could learn a thing or two? I don't know. Let's see here. One of the recommendations that they mentioned was to demonstrate that women's participation is valued. Now, I find this one to be really important. Yes, it has to do with increased visibility, increased prize money, but it really has to do with the overall perception of value of women to sport. And we don't always see that. Now, this is just my opinion, but golf has made a step in the right direction on this one. Yes, we have a long way to go, but I think we are seeing with increased coverage, with increased prize money, that yes, it's still not enough or equal, but that women's participation and the value of women in golf is getting a little better. And I think that's what they are saying for cycling as well. The second thing that they mentioned was to create women's race structures that enhance smooth transitions. Now, what can we learn from this for golf? That, we have the levels and the categories covered, the tees, whatever. This is a strength of golf. You can play based on the ability of your ability with the option to move, if you get better or if you get worse, or as you age, or whatever it is, that you can adapt, and the structures of golf helps with the transition. So I think we may have one up on cycling with that one. Another recommendation they said, or they offered, is to provide knowledge, information, and structures of point systems. Now, I think golf has this. Do you? I think we have a lot of information out there about the structures, you know, and about how we score things and systems and all that. But we could improve on the dissemination of that knowledge a little bit. We need to be able, or should, inform women about the game, its details, its rules, why they are there, you know, all of that. To not give this information, to me, only leads to frustration, and you know, you become a little bit of an outlier, and even a way to keep women from knowing the game on its deepest level. It's definitely a barrier. It's something that could keep women out of the game if you're not in the know. Another recommendation they mentioned is to emphasize the influential role of race promoters and organizers. Now, in cycling, race organizers, they're an intermediary role between USA Cycling and the participants. They're in the middle. But the authors suggest that these promoters really need to support and enhance the female cycling experience for it to thrive. Now, we see some similar things in golf on this, and I think we tend to do a good job here. There are several organizations out there which support women's golf, and this includes sponsors of tournaments. I see, you know, when I'm watching something, I see a lot of almost public service announcement type things, or supportive commercial type things, you know, and the sponsors are really saying we're here for women, and you know, all of that. So that's a really good part about golf. Now, the last recommendation that the author suggested was, now this I don't know if this is rocket science here, but they said to listen, to learn, and to adapt. So there you go. The authors suggest that the cycling organizational leadership, that they need to take into account the voices and opinions of all cyclists. Well, yeah, right. You know, I believe golf tends to do this pretty well, from what I've seen, on a professional level. Now, I think it's on the local level where things get a little more dicey. You know, when we're talking about an organization like the LPGA, you know, some of these bigger elite players, all players being or identifying as women, we get to hear that voice more. But on a local level, say at a local club or whatever, you know, where women are barely, or, you know, hardly represented in the leadership, it gets a lot tougher. And I've said that before on here, I believe, that, you know, bringing women to the table brings a different perspective. And we've seen it in studies over and over. It's been shown that having women in leadership is beneficial in numerous ways, such as cultural and financial. So it's all, you know, it's all encompassing. After reading this study, you know, I'm seeing that other women's sports has its problems, and we know that, and women's cycling is one of them. But when I compare them to women's golf, I see that maybe and we've made a few strides in golf that is not necessarily evident in something like women's cycling. That yes, the barriers are in both, such as perception in general. I think that's probably one of the biggest problems we have in golf. And of course, the money, the prize money. However, I can say that the coverage of women's golf is better. It is better than it's ever been before. And that's incredible. And we love it. And we would like to get it a little more equal than that. But when, you know, women's cycling, at least here in the United States, is non-existent. You really have to go looking for it. So it's got a ways to go. And I looked up some women's cycling news online. You can definitely find it. And one story I found had to do with bringing back a race under the Tour de France banner, so to speak. And it was really cool because the article noted that having a race like this would almost guarantee to raise the profile of women's racing. And that it even went as far as to say, you know, a racer or a race like this would create untold opportunities, was what they said, for women's cycling. And they quoted one of the popular writers. Her name is Marion Vos, and she is a Dutch cyclist. And she's really fun to watch. And she said that, quote, "It's very nice that the Tour de France for women is coming back to the calendar as a full-fledged stage race with opportunities for different specialists and all the elements that make cycling so beautiful. So boys and girls can dream of the yellow jersey," unquote. And I love what she said there. You know, she's this famous cyclist who was thinking about the future of the sport, and she's not stopping anytime soon. She's been cycling a long time, but she's not stopping as far as trying to grow the sport. And we see that in golf too, right? We hear all the time, grow the game and grow the game. And we get it. But, you know, the similar sentiments between our sports, I really think that's what makes this so hopeful as we look forward. Both sports have histories that are just full of suppression and barriers and all of those things. But both also have players and participants who love their game and their sport so much that they do it for less money. And they do it when the cards are stacked against them. They never stop. So in conclusion, I'm hoping that cycling can take a few pointers from us and us in golf, and that we in golf can take some from them, because in all, it will make the world of women's sports much stronger. And should we say, I think I will say, equal. All right, folks, that's all for today. I hope you will take some time to take a look at cycling or another women's sport and see how valuable and amazing it can be. Now, I'm not going to be trading my clubs for a bike anytime soon. I promise you that. But I can sure support and appreciate the abilities of peers in other sports. And I certainly don't want to travel down a hill at 65 miles per hour on a bike or faster, but I can be in complete awe of those women who do. You can email me anytime at onthetwithdrp@gmail.com, and be sure to check out our other golf podcasts at talkinggolf.com. So hit them straight, and remember, always go for the flag.